Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Tony Baselli and Jeff Loggeman. Sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
All right, rolling right along, hour number two. And by the way, we're done this time next week. This show, Thursday, shifts to 6. So it'll be 6 to 7. Tony will be in. Jeff is here next Thursday, 6 o'clock to 7. No 7 to 8 for programming. You knew that, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, just making sure. Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
All right, this is Jaguars Thursday. The Metro PCS call-in lines are open. 800-355-NFL1 or 355-6351. Before we get, you know, too far down the road, all the conversation this week has been about Richard Sherman, and everybody's got an opinion. I just saw Darrell Revis was derogatory towards Richard Sherman. Everyone who's listening wants to know what you guys think.
Well, but let's put in context, the Darrell Revis, Richard Sherman, they had a beef beforehand and going back about who was the best corner.
Right.
And it was a little bit, I don't know if it was fun, it was heated, but so that doesn't surprise me that Darrell Revis found the time to take a shot. But go ahead, Jeff.
I actually saw that live. I woke up from my nap, and I saw
you,
that
whoa,
live.
You fell asleep during that
game? I did.
You need to get a life. That was the greatest game.
It was a great game.
Of the year.
It was a great game, but I fell asleep. But I did end up catching up and watching the game on television on a little tape deal because I wanted to see how it happened, how it went down, and it was fantastic. Game. But I did see Richard Sherman's comments. Was it Ed Werder? And he just kind of.
No, it was Aaron Andrews.
Aaron Andrews. And then he actually went off again with Ed Werder.
Yes.
He had a kind of a couple episodes. I mean, he had two different instances where he goes off. And yes, I agree that it wasn't the thing to do because it took the attention away from your team. But, you know, I mean, I'm over it. I mean, I saw it and I was like, man, I mean, come on. I mean, I thought the story would end by Monday, Tuesday at the latest.
Oh, no chance.
You know, and here we are on Thursday. And if you didn't have the extra week prior to the Super Bowl, it would have been over with. You know, but this carries the media through this extra week prior to the Super Bowl.
I loved it.
Really?
In the sense of, I love the guy.
Now, he's a great player.
I think he could have handled it better, and he has apologized. So it's over. I mean, it was a heated motion. Obviously, there's things being said. He just made the biggest play of the game. He is a high-energy, emotional player. That's who he is. But I actually tweeted, I said, for the record, I'll take Richard Sherman on my team every day. I mean, that's the type of guy I want to play with. Now, does he need to correct it? Sure. Did Pete Carroll address it? Yeah, because it made it about himself. Just all the things Jeff said. But come on. Guys make much bigger mistakes and do much dumber things and say much dumber things. Should he have done it? No, but I love who he is as a player and the way he plays the game. I love it. I mean,
I think his college coach talked about it best. And his college coach talked about how Richard, first of all, is a high-quality guy, which guys never had an incident off the field.
No incident off the field. Extremely intelligent.
Bright guy. Good teammate. Yeah. Everything that Gus Bradley just told us on the Gus Bradley Show. But then his college coach went a little bit further. And I think that he was spot on. He said that, you know, with Richard, you know, he's such a high competitor. A lot of times those type of players are on edge. And so when you have a player that's on edge like that, sometimes you're going to have an emotional moment like that. That's why I've always said that it probably would be best to keep microphones and cameras away from the players for a little
too
bit of time
money
after the game. But yeah, I get that, you know, it is too much money and it's all about the game.
Fox pays a lot of money. They want Richard Sherman right
But, I mean,
afterwards.
Sometimes you need a little moment to decompress. I mean, from the emotion of the game. Because, you know, and that's what I love about Richard Sherman. If you're not playing the game with emotion, then I think you sell it short.
Well, yeah.
And I love the fact that he plays the game with emotion and it's important to that. And when I saw that, that's what I took that as. Here's a guy that's emotional, loves the game, and it means a lot to him, and it's the most important thing in the world at that moment to him. And I appreciate that. Now, he could have done it differently, not take away the attention and all that, but it wasn't that big of a deal to me.
Yeah, I mean, he called out Crabtree, but probably didn't need that. And I guess the way I look at it is I don't think it's that big a deal, number one. I mean, he was emotional, and poor Aaron Andrews was sitting there not going, okay, I guess we're done. But, you know, I would rather have that and have to rein it in a little bit than have to try to push someone to have that competitive spirit. It's much easier to rein it in a little bit. I mean, I coach high school football. I mean, a kid like that who's competitive and is on edge and plays with emotion and passion and high energy, take every day of the week. It's the kid you're trying to kick in the rear end just to go get going.
Well, by all accounts, his teammates love him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but you know how these things get out of control, especially during the Super Bowl week. Then all of a sudden the word thug had connotations to it and back and forth.
Yeah, that was the first I've ever heard that.
If he wasn't a great player, he might not be viewed so positively from his teammates and the coaching staff and all that if he was just a guy. But he's not just
a guy. Well, if he was just a guy, he wouldn't have been sitting there getting interviewed by Aaron Andrews.
No, and wouldn't have made the game-changing play. No, I mean, could have, but.
I mean, they threw at him twice. Once it was an incomplete pass, they called holding, which I thought was a bad call early in the game, and then that one. I mean, they didn't throw the ball at him. They don't want him. No one wants
Why
him.
Would you?
He's that good.
But you saw Revis a few years ago when he was.
He's better than Revis. No, I mean,
when Revis was
at his top of the game, he was as good as anybody.
I was just about to ask you who was better.
Yeah, I mean, you take both.
Flip a coin. At the height of their games, I mean, Revis was so good. Maybe because I've seen more of Darrell Revis than I have of Sherman. So, I mean, at the height, I probably would take Revis just because I've watched more of him when he was at the height of the game. He was a complete shutdown corner, period.
14th,
take the guy out.
14th pick in the 2007 draft, and Sherman was a late-round pick. And yet we're talking about two guys at the very top of their game.
Richard Sherman's the best right now.
Richard Sherman was a wide receiver at Stanford.
Yeah. That's even more amazing.
I mean, and if you read the story of Richard Sherman, it's a great story. I mean, grew up in Compton, California, rough area, a lot of gang violence. Was a 4.2 student, outstanding, you know, good family, fought through whatever, you know, all the distractions that go about growing up in a situation like that. Gets a scholarship to Stanford, and I mean, that's what you want. I mean, that's the thing. What I love about it. He has no issues. He had one blip where they said he tested positive for Adderall. He fought it, and he won the appeal. So, meaning if you win the appeal against the NFL, you know you're right because no one wins an appeal against the NFL. And so here's a guy who's done nothing, absolutely nothing off the field. No, I mean, he's a model. I mean, everyone you read gives back in the community. Smart, articulate. If you've ever read his stuff on Peter King, the MMQB.
Does a good job.
He's a great writer. I mean, I said it all week. I did some different interviews. I said, I want him on my team. I want him on my team.
So who does he match up with against in the Super Bowl?
Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, Demaryius Thomas.
Wherever he goes.
But the funny thing or the ironic thing about Richard Sherman is at Stanford, which is a great school. I mean, way better than SC as far as academics.
No, it's not.
Richard Sherman.
SC is the Harvard of the West.
He was a communications major. I mean, really? Richard, really? Major? You just did that?
His professor probably watched that and said, Richard, we need to come back to class. We did not communicate clearly at that point.
But I love the matchup of the Broncos in the highest scoring offense in NFL history against that defense. In particular, Peyton Manning with Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Eric Decker, Wes Welker against that secondary. I mean, it couldn't be any better.
Yeah, but so I said Sherman will go with Demaryius Thomas, but I'm pretty sure Seattle actually plays left and right. So he probably they play their left and right corners. So he might just match up who's over there. The corners and the secondary and the receiver, that's all going to be great storyline and great matchups to watch. I can't wait to watch it. That's not where the game will be decided. It'll be decided if the five guys up front for the Broncos can block that great pass rush. That pass rush gets after you.
Yeah, but you know what?
And they bring in waves.
How many pass rushes have really truly affected Peyton Manning because he gets rid of the ball quick?
But they're going to be what Seattle's going to do is they're going to press and be physical because they're as physical as any corners outside. So Peyton's going to have to hold it that extra second to find time, and that it'll be interesting to see. If that rush can get there.
Wes Welker is going to be his primary target. Because when Peyton feels like he's hurried, he's going to go to the guy that he thinks can win a one-on-one, and that's Wes Welker.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a great matchup.
I hope you can stay awake.
Trust me, I'll stay awake for this one.
Just don't eat as much before the game, right?
No,
isn't that how you avoid that?
It was the red beans and rice, you know, coma going, working on that.
Well, you need to condition yourself for the big Super Bowl meals.
I got to wait and eat, you know, that halftime. You know, instead of eating before the game like I did, and the food coma set in.
It was a great weekend, though. I mean, now the Denver-New England game was just a little disappointing. Tom Brady didn't play very good. He missed some guys wide open.
That was and that soft spot of cover, too, that one throw he missed. Holy cow.
And he missed the crossing route, deep crossing route. The guy was wide open, probably a touchdown. So they didn't play real well.
But Peyton was at his best.
Sure, he was good.
I mean, as I said, you know, my prediction was the New England Patriots. I thought that Peyton would have
a moment. That's right.
You were
I was 2-0 this week.
You were 2-0. So was Brian.
No, you were with me.
So basically, Tony won.
Basically, what we've decided, wherever Brian goes, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, no, I got one right this weekend.
No, but you went with me the week before. And
right,
yeah, but you're on the losing side of the fence.
You're on the losing side every time.
Yeah, damn.
You're not very good.
But I thought Peyton would struggle at some point in that game with a big moment. Now, the game didn't really have a big moment because the Broncos were in control of it.
Well,
But late in the game, when New England kind of made it a little bit interesting, when he had to have a throw, Peyton Manning made a throw.
Yeah, he did.
He was fantastic. And I give him a lot of credit because that's back-to-back games in the playoffs that he's been simply fantastic, like he's been in the regular season for years.
But the biggest play of that game was the Welker, Aqib Talib, and all the noise that that's created with Bill Belichick.
Dirty or not?
No, it's fine. It was a cry. It's a rubber out. They ran into each other. I don't think Welker was going low trying. I think Welker was running the rubber out like everyone does in this league, and saw the contact and tried to brace himself, and it was unfortunate. I don't think it was dirty though.
He didn't shy away from it though.
You think it was dirty?
I thought it was a little extra.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
maybe something between those two guys last
year. No, they don't like each other. No, I mean, Welker and Belichick don't like each other. That's clear.
I knew that one. I just wonder whether there was something.
Now you can say that Wes Welker and Aqib Talib don't like each other.
Yeah. No, they're not very friendly either. Yeah.
The next time they face off, folks, is one of the great wide receivers in the game said, get your popcorn.
Here we go.
Oh, because next year they play each other again.
Uh-huh.
Both division leaders.
Folks, we got a lot more. 45 more minutes of Jaguars Thursday. You can go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion when you visit your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jaguars. Ford, go further. More to come with Tony and Jeff and you, 355-NFL1 or 800-355-6351 here on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, it's brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Jaguars coaching staff in Mobile. Obviously, we talked with Gus Bradley during the first hour a lot about what he's seen. And we'll find out on Saturday. But any thoughts on the Leo position, which got a lot of play in this morning's newspaper?
Looks like they've got, I know, the guy from Georgia Tech. They've got a guy from Auburn. Those two guys seem to be kind of at the top of that position, the Leo position there in Mobile. JP, anybody else that really stood out? Can we get his microphone first?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, they moved a few different guys over there. And that was the beauty of coaching, is that you can – actually put guys in positions they may not be comfortable in and see if they excel at that spot. They may not have played it before, but they can play it this week during practice and maybe even in the game. And if they can handle it, then there might be a future.
You know, it's interesting when you look at that, and both of you guys have talked about it this year. When you look at the Seahawks defense, you know, it was built with a lot of lower round draft picks and some free agents. Earl Thomas may be the only number one pick around. On that defense, they found guys that fit their system.
They run them through there, too. Everybody. Bruce Irvin was the number one pick, too.
That's right. You're right. Bruce Irvin.
But there wasn't very many. I mean, look at the guys they have that are rushing. I mean, Bennett was a guy that was out there for anyone to sign.
Yeah, I thought that when I saw him in Tampa, I liked him. And I was hoping that they would sign him here.
You know.
And Seattle got him for nothing.
Nothing. I mean, what's it, Schofield? I mean, I don't even know where he came from. I mean, he's rushing the passer. You got Bruce Irvin.
Yeah, Cliff Averill didn't sign a big deal.
Cliff Averill, one-year deal. I mean, good money, though, but a one-year deal.
Yeah, like $5 million,
something. Yeah, but not huge.
Clemens is a great player.
But he's coming off an ACL. So you just rotate these guys, and they just come at you in waves. I mean, it's remarkable. And you watch that team play. And really, both San Francisco and Seattle stood out watching that game. But since Seattle, we'll talk about Seattle. The speed with which they close to the ball is remarkable.
It's special.
I mean, you would have a little underneath routes. And this is going to be interesting because Denver likes a lot of the underneath crossing stuff and get the ball in the receiver's hands and let them run after catch. I don't think that's going to be there with Seattle because they close so fast and they're so sure in their tackling and they come with ill intentions.
And the defensive line pursues maybe better than any team in the National Football League. They turn and run. And they turn and run because they've got 8-9 guys they're playing throughout the ball game. You know, get tired, put your hand up, here comes the next guy, and he's productive. You know, whereas like the 49ers, and we talked about this a little bit last week, you know, the front line talent of the 49ers is good as there is in the National Football League. I mean, Alden Smith, Justin Smith. But once those guys are out and they need a blow, the next guys aren't as good as when Seattle brings in their second-team guys. I mean, think about it. I mean, the Leo position in Seattle, the first-round pick from West Virginia, Bruce Irvin, I mean, that's supposed to be the position for the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, the marquee position of the defense.
He's playing more linebacker.
Yeah. They're not even playing him that much, you know. And everybody else is having great – and the middle linebacker for Seattle, second-year linebacker, Bobby Wagner, is fantastic. Fantastic player. He's going to be a really good one for years to come.
Well, just get the sense, and this is just me thinking, that there's a lot of guys that can play the Leo position in this draft. I mean, there's guys like D. Ford from Auburn who all of a sudden everyone's got his attention on. They might not necessarily need to draft an Anthony Barr or a Jadeveon Clowney to fill that spot.
Maybe not.
They might be able to take a lot of different guys. Now, the reason that everyone says, well, Clowney is because people are worried about his work ethic and about the off-the-field speeding tickets at 110 miles an hour. But if you're sitting there and you had to take a chance on a player, quarterback, defensive end, for this team where they are right now, which one is a better fit at the top of this draft?
The best player. I'm going to be a broken record from now until, what, the second week of May, first week of May. This roster we have, Dave Caldwell has the luxury in one sense of just go take the best player. Whether it's – if it's the defensive end, take the best defensive end because you need him. If it's the quarterback, take the best quarterback because you need him. If it's a linebacker that's the best player, you need him. I mean,
but let me add this to it.
If it's a number one receiver, I mean, yeah, argue that you need that.
I think they're going to take a quarterback early, and it may not be with the third overall pick.
Right.
But if you look at the percentages, you miss less on non-quarterbacks as opposed to quarterbacks. So when you say, hey, you know, what do you do if you've got a quarterback there and you've got a, you know, pass rusher? I mean, how many top-end pass rushers have been busts
in
the National Football League?
Unfortunately,
well, not as many as quarterbacks.
Well, that's why I asked the question, because you remember 2008, you know, Vernon Golston from Ohio State was supposed to be all that, and the Jets took him, and he's gone, and Jags moved up, and they traded all those picks away to get Harvey, and he didn't pan out. And, you know, you can look back over this and find that there's some pass rushers that didn't pan out. But
the percentages are better for the big guys. I'm talking offensive linemen and pass rushers on the defensive line.
Well, the first thing I thought of when I read Ryan O'Halloran's story this morning was there's a lot of guys that can play this Leo position. They might not have to gamble on pass rush at the top of the draft. If it's gambling, I mean, Clowney, from everything you read, is a phenomenal athlete. You know, just as good as you find.
I still have a hard time getting over, you know, every time you talk to Gus Bradley about a player, what's the first thing that comes out of his mouth?
Does he love ball?
Does he love ball?
Right.
Does a guy like Clowney who, you know, Steve Spurrier is as laid back of a coach with his players.
He basically called him out.
As there is, called him out. Saying, I don't know what's going on with Jadeveon. Well, really? Now, is that a guy that loves ball? I don't think so.
Now, he was over in Mobile, right, JP? He was over there trying to, you know, get in front of some of these NFL types. Obviously, he's not a senior, so he didn't take part in that.
Yeah, he was there. He was there on,
he looks pretty good, doesn't he?
On Wednesday. But he was off to the side. You know, his agent wasn't really letting him talk to media or anybody. I think Dan Hicken got two questions, and he tried to do the whole two-part question, then another question. The agent was like, no, you're done. So he wasn't really talking to media folks. I think he had some meetings off to the side with a few teams, but – wasn't saying a lot. Yeah, interesting though.
Here's the question I have: did he drive to Mobile?
No, he got there quicker than I did. I'll tell you that. That's for sure.
But he's an impressive looking dude.
Yeah, I mean he's a big dude. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean he's all of it.
Well, you were at the Georgia South Carolina game. You saw him.
He walked by me. I was like, dang, he's big. I mean, big. He's big.
What's his height weight?
He's 6'6", 275.
No, he's He looks like about 290. I mean, he is.
He's strapped.
Like, he was logs. Yeah. Like he walks by, you're like.
And guys like him, you know, that are, I mean, are just blessed with, you know, the physique
and incredible athletic ability.
You look at him and you go, he's got to be 290. But I mean, probably weighs 270, 270.
275 is what he was listed.
But you know,
he
looks, his muscles, you know, are sticking out everywhere.
Of course, Johnny Manziel, I think, was listed at 6'2" on the Texas A&M depth chart all season long. So yeah, he's a hair over 6 feet.
He's one of the guys. It's funny, you know, Jeff. You played a long time, and I played, and you. I always talk about there's certain guys in warmups that you look over and you're like,
yeah,
dang, I got to play that guy today. Now the reality is though, a lot of times. Those guys that look like that, you're like, you get in the game.
We call that the high school analysis.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in high school and you came out and you look across the field and you see the guy come to the line of scrimmage, and you're like, oh, my God.
But then you play.
You know, the guy's got a beard, you know, and you just started going through puberty and you're going, oh, my God, I got to play against a grown man. Whereas, I mean, when you get to the pros, you're like, you know, hey, I watched the guy on film. I know what he is.
Yeah,
no big deal.
Yeah, you watch. But it's funny. Even you watch on film, you know what to expect, but you look at him, you're like, huh. But then you get on the – And so just because – my point is just because you have the look. I mean, I played against a bunch of guys that you look across warming up. You're like, ah, that's no problem. And they come out and wear you out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mean, who? Who's some of those guys?
Well, I mean, look at
Mike McCrary didn't look like nothing.
255 pounds. He'd give you everything you wanted. I mean, everything you wanted.
Another guy was the defensive end in Cleveland.
Anthony Pleasant
and Rob Burnett.
I mean, they looked – I mean,
They were decent size.
But it wasn't like you were like.
You didn't go, oh my gosh. But you better pack a lunch.
But guess what? As soon as the first snap went, you're like, oh my goodness. We better be ready to play.
Right. Yeah.
That's what we call that. I call that the high school analysis.
Well, you know, and the reason I bring his name up, besides the fact that he was in Mobile, was that, you know, before this last season began, I mean, everyone had him as the greatest thing ever. And clearly the number one player.
That's part of his problem. That's his problem.
He believed it.
Don't doubt that. But does it take away from his ability? Because the first 2 years he was really pretty darn good.
It does if his mentality is he doesn't love ball.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to love the game to be a great pro.
Well, and I think that, you know, when I grew up, you know, growing up around a lot of other athletes and then being in college, Tony, you had the same ability to watch guys. I've always found that the guys that did not have early success seemed to be driven later on because they always had to work at the craft to get better when they were younger because they weren't good when they were young. But there are some guys that the moment that they stepped out of the crib, they were the best player on the field.
Yeah.
And so they never had to learn the work ethic and the desire to train to get better. You know, and the perfect example that I have of that is I remember when I was in high school and we had Billy King on our high school basketball team. And Billy King, former general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers, played at Duke, was the two-time NCAA Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he was a great player in high school. Great player. I mean, when he was in middle school, I remember Billy was showing me. I mean, he had a closet full of shoes that just college programs were sending him. You know, he used to go to Lefty Driesell's camp in middle school. I mean, he was getting recruited in middle school. He was that good. Well, we used to play a team in our district, and it was, I think it was Osborne Park, and played against this guy that was tall, lanky, and Billy would just dominate him. I mean, just, you know, dunk in his face, you know, and we kind of chant because, you know, we thought that this guy, Beanpole, was uncoordinated. We kind of laugh at him. And then this guy goes off to the Naval Academy, this guy that Billy dominated, and it turns out to be David Robinson.
He's a pretty good player. Hall of Famer.
And he's a Hall of Fame basketball player. But, I mean, here's the perfect example of a guy that, growing up, I mean, he just didn't have the dominant traits.
Late bloomer.
Learned that he had to work at it and stayed with it. I mean, so
he was one of those guys at the
Clowney
top of the draft
is kind of the opposite,
right,
in that he had it.
I'll just say this: work ethic is a quality that is hard to replace.
Don't doubt it.
And I think every great player has work ethic.
Well, you're talking about a guy who everyone had clearly number one, and now, you know, mock drafts are what they are. You see him, you know, 6, 7 in that range because of the quarterback position.
Well,
and I just can't help but think that when this guy gets through with the combine and some of those workouts, he's going to end up 1 or 2.
He'll be in the top 3, 4. I mean, he's going to be right up there.
But, you know, you're talking about Clowney, and there is an example of the work ethic guy that you're talking about that develops later, and that's Anthony Barr, the kid from UCLA. Saw him a little bit in the Sun Bowl. He was a converted fullback, 6'4", 230, great pass rusher. I don't know whether you guys have seen him or not.
Yeah,
but
I've watched him, unfortunately.
I mean, he looks like a, you know, he looks like a top four or
what
five
do you mean,
pick,
unfortunately, because he dominated SC?
I think he's the one who basically a year ago broke Barkley's clavicle and ended his any chance of USC doing anything.
Yeah, he's a terrific
pass
rusher.
He's a really good player.
So there's lots of opportunity out there. At the top of the draft, it looks like there'll be quarterbacks and defensive ends. Where they go, look, you're right. Take either one. You need them.
You know, the one thing that you do know about the draft, especially the top end of the draft, is that the big guys usually don't move much. I mean, they just don't.
Now, so you're saying Bruce Matthews' son is going in the top three or four picks too?
Oh, he could. I mean, and the kid at Texas A&M, what's his name? The tackle.
That's Matthews. That's Matthews.
Okay, that's him. Matthews, I mean, you got Matthews. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be a top four selection. Clowney's going to be a top four selection. He's not going to go anywhere. Now, the rest,
Sammy Watkins, the receiver from Clemson's name, is being bandied about up there.
Could be.
Barr, the quarterbacks.
I don't know. I mean, the quarterback, that's interesting because there's not, like we've said before, there's not an Andrew Luck.
Well, Houston's going to get a quarterback, right?
The only one is Bridgewater.
Well, but you know, you are they? Read some of these
or
columns. Well, yeah,
are they?
I was reading something today from someone that direction that said, you know, Houston's really looking hard at Clowney because what do you have with Clowney on one side and Watt on the other? And if
it
he's
an offense that still doesn't have a quarterback.
True.
I mean, I
agree.
A bum.
I wouldn't put anything past anyone right
Bridgewater.
Now.
I don't think you like Clowney, Tony.
No, I said he could be. I mean, I just love all these.
I'm getting the vibe from you. You don't like him.
I think he's you watch him a year ago. He was fabulous. I do think a lot of it was made even bigger because of one play in the Michigan game where he was unblocked and took someone's head off. I mean, he's a good player. I'm not saying – I mean, he's a top five pick. I mean, I'm not saying – but I never thought it's like slam dunk, guaranteed, you know, first pick, going to be a double-digit sack guy his whole career. He might be. I just watched him this year, and I saw guys at college block him. Pretty good.
We need a break. News is next from our friends over at Newstalk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, rolling right along. We've got a lot of time to talk about the top of the draft, second round, third round, fourth round. There's a whole lot sitting there. JP, you just got back, and you can check out all of JP's work at Jaguars.com. Most of it's up by now, right? You got any surprises coming?
Well, tomorrow, the best of Mic'd Up with Jed Fish and Bob Babish from Senior Bowl practices will hit the Jaguars.com. We had it live, Tony. Live Mic'd Up during practice with Bob Babish. How about that?
How was that?
Oh, it went. It was pretty good. It was very entertaining,
question.
Actually.
Did Bob make sure that the language was family-oriented?
I believe he scaled back a little bit, but, you know, you get into the trenches and you're with the linebackers and things happen, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's the way
because he's coaching the linebackers because Mark Duffner.
Yeah, because Duffner, he's coaching Miami. So,
by the way, let me just make a comment about Mark Duffner. He might be one of the greatest guys that I've ever had the chance of getting to know here in Jacksonville, you know, on the coaching staff. One of the all-time greats.
Let me tell you a story.
Hate to see him leave.
Yes.
I talked to him on when I heard the news. I guess it was a morning on Monday morning when I actually saw what was going on. Oh, boy. So I'm trying to get a hold of him, you know, for a thing. He finally gets back. He had flown back to Jacksonville to clean out his office here. And then he was like, I don't know if we can't, you know, talk about it. Yeah, I went on the Dolphins, you know. But he made sure that we were covered, mm-hmm. you know. He made sure I was on the conference call with the Dolphins. He went out of his way to do that. And he didn't have to do that, you know.
No, that's Mark.
Quality guy. Absolutely.
And every week, his wife would make cookies and bring in every week of the season. And so every Wednesday, it was Wednesdays, right?
Yeah.
Every Wednesday, you know, because this show used to be on Wednesday all the time, you'd come in on Wednesday and you go and hurry up and go to the room there at the coach's office to make sure you got a cookie from Duff before all the coaches ended up eating all the rest of them.
And thoughts on Mike Ryan? I mean, guy's been around here a long time.
I wish him the best, you know. Decides to close this chapter of his life and move on to next. I mean, he's been doing it a long time, an athletic trainer for the Jaguars, start with the Giants.
One of the first guys Tom Coughlin brought with
him. He's been here a long time.
Great guy.
That's not an easy job. No, you're balancing the player's interest with the team's interest. You're in the middle a lot.
So I wish him the best. I like Mike a lot. He's a good friend.
I like Mike a lot. And the one thing I do know about Mike, he will be successful whatever he chooses to do next. I mean, here's a guy who is an athletic trainer and at the same time would train and go do triathlons around the world.
I mean, Austria, New Zealand.
The amount of time that it takes to be a head athletic trainer in the National Football League, and I don't care the time of year because it never ends for a head athletic trainer. During the season, you're dealing with guys on a daily basis and multiple guys. During the off season or out of season, you're dealing with guys that are in rehab. And then OTAs, mini camps, training camps. But he found time to train and never missed a beat to get his training and running in. One of the most athletically fit, gifted guys I've ever met.
Speaking of athletically and fit, JP was showing me the some clowny video.
Oh, yeah, I got
that's why I brought it up. I mean, you're going to see all that stuff.
We got tweeted a link to the high school senior highlights.
If he plays like that, I'd take him first, second, and third. I mean, I'd take him every pick I had. I mean, my goodness.
All you got to do is go to YouTube and type in Jadeveon Clowney high school highlights, and it's about 30 minutes or more. I don't know what it is.
Well, that's why I think you can talk about a skinny quarterback from Louisville or a shorter quarterback from Texas A&M all day long. But I think you get through the whole process, someone's going to take Clowney number one because that kind of athletic ability
you're right.
is so rare.
As long as you're comfortable that he loves football.
Someone will be.
I think that's the only question, isn't it, Jeff?
Well, I mean, for this team, yes. But, I mean, there's a lot of teams.
They don't care?
Not all teams have that first and foremost on the front of their mind when they evaluate a player. They look at the physical gifts and the potential.
Well, then you got to take him first. I mean,
because if that's what you're looking at, he's a no-doubter.
He's a no-doubter first pick.
And that's why everybody said it last summer.
I saw him at the Georgia-South Carolina game. I wasn't overly impressed with how he played that day, but you can't make a judgment by one game.
And wait till he gets to the combine.
But he walked by me, and I was like, holy cow.
Well, I imagine the ratings for NFL Network the day that the defensive ends work out on television. There's a lot of people out there that know the legend of Jadeveon from the hit on Michigan, and they will tune that in to watch him work out because you'll see it.
He's going to, because at the combine what they do is they've got all the scouts, the coaches and everything. They're all sitting there, and the player comes up there in his underwear, and he goes up and stands in front of the entire audience. They take pictures of him. You did that, right?
Yep.
And you wowed a lot of people.
there were some turned on dudes.
There were some dudes going, that guy's going to be a top 10 pick, really?
They were turned on, Jeff. I'm not going to lie to you.
Staying all the way away.
But when Clowney walks up there and he's standing there in his underwear, and people are going to go, oh, my God, look at that guy. I mean, he talked about put together. And then when he goes and runs his 40, his four-cone drill, his vertical jump, all those things that you have to go through at the combine, he's gonna blow it up. I mean, no, he's gonna be off the charts.
What does he run the 40 in?
He ran a 4.6 something. I mean, low 4.6s. That's why everyone, because you're talking about a guy who's not only enormous with explosive, fast twitch muscle fiber, but who really ran fast too. I mean, the numbers are off the charts, and that's why I think when you look at Teddy Bridgewater, it's kind of like DJ Fluker, and you look at how big he is compared to the guard. What was the guard's name? Chance Warmack, right? And you said it right there. Why would you take that guy when you can have that guy? And it's the same thing. You look at Teddy Bridgewater, and you put, who's no bigger than Stewart, the photographer from Fox and CBS, who's in here, right?
Why are you on Stewart like that?
No, I'm not. Stewart's he's a nice guy, but he's not an NFL quarterback.
I think Teddy's a little bigger.
A little bit, but not a whole lot. Not much. He's just not. He may be a little taller than Stewart, but he's not much bigger. And then you get a guy that's bigger than you two. Right? Enormous.
Hold on. He's not bigger. I mean, he just looks better.
Well, all right. He's bigger than Jeff. Jeff doesn't weigh 275 pounds.
Jeff doesn't weigh 210 pounds anymore.
Strapping 229 pounds.
Here you go. Yeah, and he's proud of it because he looks good. But I'm talking about you take that guy, you go, I want him. Don't you? I mean, Johnny Manziel looked exciting against Duke in the Chick-fil-A Bowl, but
obviously, if you're the GM and Clowney and Manziel are on the board, you're taking Clowney.
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough.
Would you do?
I have no idea.
If you come on now.
I don't have to decide.
I'll tell you right now.
But right now. You can change your mind. You're entitled to
change
your
mind.
Yeah. As of today.
As of today, Tony Boselli, the general manager of the Australian Rules football team, Johnny Manziel and Jadeveon Clowney decide we want to play Australian rules football, who
well,
you
taking? I'm taking Clowney because that game's much more style for his type of skill set. If I had to pick for our football, gosh, Brian makes a great point. I mean, I probably – because I think right now with what we know, Clowney's less risk because there's so many unknowns about arm strength and
whether his style of play will
– all that stuff.
And whether he can stay healthy.
So I'd probably –
you look at 6'6", 275, 4'6", 40. Yeah, I'll take it.
I'd probably take – who would you take, Jeffrey?
Me? I'd take Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. It's not an easy choice.
Because you do know he loves football. There's no doubt. There's
he's
no
electric,
doubt.
Loves football.
He loves it.
He loves life, too.
He not only loves the game of football, he loves what football brings.
Well, yeah, did you see the FSU bikini model that he picked up out there for the Rose Bowl or for the National Championship game?
I do not watch or look at those type of things.
Well, how could you miss it? It was all over the internet. You saw it because I showed it to you. Of course you saw it.
I closed my eyes.
Yeah, oh, you did not.
I don't want my wife to know.
No, you actually turned the whole monitor towards you.
I did not.
You kicked me out of my seat.
Angie, don't know.
Tony, I'll look it up for you. Don't worry.
She didn't listen to you anyway. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351.
You mentioned the NFL Scouting Combine. If you like the Senior Bowl coverage this week, we'll have similar coverage on Jaguars.com in Indianapolis.
Folks, that is the perfect example of what we in the business call shameless self-promotion.
I don't care.
Way to hit it, baby.
Jaguars.com.
You did a great job out there. Jaguars.com. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. One more segment of Jaguars Thursday with Jeff and Tony. JP sitting in just back from Mobile. You can join us 355-NFL1 here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
For the record, as JP and Jeff were doing their Johnny Manziel research,
here we go.
During the break,
I was signing.
Yeah, and Angie Buscelli, his head never came up. Well, almost never.
Well, it's because it's a screensaver on his phone. He doesn't need to look at JP's phone.
Yeah, he's already got it.
Manziel is an
interesting
character.
That's a photo I haven't seen, Tony. Oh, hey, sorry. Well done.
Man, he's an interesting character, and he's going to be. There are a lot of fun players in this draft.
Oh yeah,
I mean, there's just a lot of great stories.
I just wish that there was, a clear cut number one quarterback. Period.
I'm glad there's not because the Jaguars don't have the number one pick.
But maybe that's okay because the Jaguars wouldn't be in the position to get him. I mean, yes, you'd like them to be able to get him, but it seems to be a very upper mid-level, talent-rich draft for quarterbacks.
No, what you want, Jeff, is – let me clarify what you really want. What you want is the Jaguars in a position to pick the for-sure franchise quarterback.
Yes.
That's what you want.
Yeah, that would be great. In a dream world, that's what you get.
Yeah, that's what you want.
But since they're not in a position to do that, I think it's good in that, first of all, you're going to get a great player at number three. And probably will not be a quarterback unless Bridgewater falls, which could happen. Because I know some of the numbers for Teddy Bridgewater are the highest in years when you look at from a purely numbers standpoint.
His accuracy.
But there's a lot of talented quarterbacks that are going to fall into that second round and the third round that may end up being – a Russell Wilson type or a Tom Brady type that may be franchise quarterbacks.
Now, David's on the south side with a thought on that. Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Hello there. Evening, guys.
Evening.
You guys nailed right on it. I was curious about A.J. McCarron. He's intriguing to me. He just seems to be a very, really solid quarterback, good leadership skills, a lot of other things, and he's kind of a side note in a lot of the conversation. So I wanted to get your take on him and see if he's something that you feel would make it to the second round and somebody we'd take a chance on.
What better person to talk about it than
Alabama fans, right?
I'm not going to be a homer. I'll tell you about his week in Mobile that didn't happen. I mean, the guy is a Mobile guy, born and bred, mm-hmm. Alabama quarterback, won all these games. He rubbed a lot of people the wrong way in that city by not going to the Senior Bowl.
I get that, but I mean, hit JP.
And he's come out this week saying he was injured.
He did have a surgery.
He had a little surgery thing, which I heard in Tuscaloosa last week, too. So that makes sense now, but don't just come out and say that early. Get that out of the way so you can be ready for the combine and all that stuff. And that, I think, is the plan.
He did say a doctor told him not to go.
Right.
He said that from the onset.
What else do you want?
He said that at the very beginning.
Well, he didn't say anything.
But he didn't
before
explain it. He didn't explain it. But
so there's all this speculation. Mayock told us, hey, what, he's got to be here. He's not a first-round guy, all this stuff, because he hadn't explained anything.
Well, I think a lot of people want to put too much pressure on him to play in that game because he's from Mobile and all that kind of stuff. But, hey, look, if you can't analyze what he's done in college, playing for one of the great college football programs, playing –
how many national titles? What's it say on your hat?
15 on my hat. Thank you.
No, he did not win 15.
No, he played in how many? How many did he play in?
Played in two.
Okay, played in two.
Has 3 rings.
Okay, he's got 3.
Red shirt.
So here's the thing. What more do you need to know about a guy? I mean, do you need to look at a bigger game that he's played in? Do you need to see him playing an offense that he doesn't know any of the concepts?
You know, it would have been cool if he had done what Aaron Murray did from Georgia, and that is go to the meetings. You know, spend time around.
Yeah, see, I don't have a problem. I mean, hey, he's injured and he's got something to gain because he doesn't have anything to risk. I mean, that's different. That's different. McCarron's has something to risk. How many guys got hurt for the South squad?
Four
guys. Yeah. One of them ACL.
What if he just went and did the meeting thing and got a chance to talk to the coaches and do that?
They're not going to do that with a guy that they deem could play. They would rather have a guy that's going to play in the game. They're not going to do that. I mean, with Murray, they knew he wasn't going to play.
Right.
So he's going to take away from roster spot on the team.
Well, that's the Senior Bowl thing. They want him to be there and be in the game. If he's not willing to do that, they're going to invite him.
But listen, the only crime the guy made, or mistake the guy made, I should say, is he didn't communicate right at the beginning. I mean, that's it.
Fair. No, that's fair.
That's all he did.
That's fair.
He's a college kid coming out. He probably was trying to figure out what he should say and then say. I blame the agent for that. I don't blame AJ for it. Big deal. Get over it.
The big question with him, though, because he's played at Alabama, that has been pumping out first-round pick after first-round pick for the last, 4 or 5 years. Was it AJ McCarron or was it all this talent around him?
Well, Trent Richardson's not very good.
In college he was.
Great Tuscaloosa.
Couldn't argue what he did at Alabama. Mm-hmm. All those offensive linemen, Fluker, and all that.
All the fat guys.
They had a great offensive line, too, remember?
Yeah.
3 award winners.
Don't forget that.
But that's what he will battle, more than anything, is was it the talent around him or was it because of him that they won?
Listen,
he'll have talent around him in the NFL, too.
All these guys will be judged on two things now, or three things. One, their college tape, that's in the – it's in the books. I can't do anything about that. Then they're going to be judging the combine. They're going to be judging the pro day. That's what he needs to be focused on. I mean, the question AJ McCarron is, how strong is his arm? Does he have a strong enough arm to make all the throws in the NFL? I think that's probably the biggest question.
What was the surgery he had?
A toe.
I'm not exactly sure, to be honest with you.
But you wonder whether he even participated at the combine or wait until his pro day.
He's going to be ready. He's going to be ready for the combine.
You got to see how strong his arm is. He's not a fast guy. His athletic ability is what it is. It's not why you're drafting him. You're drafting him because the belief that he's a smart guy, played under a coach, pro style offense, all the different things he was able to do, command of the situation. And the question is his arm strong enough?
Who's the last Alabama quarterback that had great success in the National
Joe
Football
Namath.
League? But besides Joe.
Namath. Joe Namath.
Stabler.
That's really that long ago?
Probably, yeah.
That's not good.
Because they ran the wishbone for years in the 70s, Stedman, Sheely, those guys, they didn't go.
What were they doing in the 80s?
Not very good.
Yeah. No, Mike Shula was there.
You blaming Mike?
No, I'm saying he was there. He was a quarterback there. I'm saying he's a lefty. Won an Iron Bowl.
I don't know.
Yeah, it hasn't happened.
No.
McElroy, but he hasn't had success. John Parker Wilson, you know what happened with him.
It's gonna be interesting to watch.
Jay Barker,
where he ends up getting drafted because of perception on him.
He'll change the perception if he goes out in there and shows he's a strong enough arm.
He's got to show his arm.
It's the biggest thing with the kid.
I don't know if he's got it.
Well, and there's a bunch of guys that fall into that second, third round quarterback. I mean, the kid at LSU, Mettenberger, is going to be an interesting one.
Like the car kid.
I know that, but he's still got a big arm.
He's
got
to fight the stigma from his brother.
Yeah. Lots to talk about, folks, and plenty of time. We've got till the middle of May before this year's draft. Thanks to everybody for being part of Jaguars Thursday. Good night.